Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Another packed one today, but I feel like the show's been in a good groove. Thank you, Joe Rogan. We'll talk about him in a second. But first, Jimmy Kimmel was befuddled by the Oscars. He was wondering why Spider-Man No Way Home didn't get any nominations. How did that not get one of the 10 nominations for Best Picture? There were only 11 movies made this year. Forget the fact that the movie made $750 million and is still going. This is a great movie. It wasn't in the top 10 best movies of the year. There were three Spider-Men in it. Here's what happened. The Academy voters, they looked at the list. They saw the names Leo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep. They checked that box, and then they put their kids in the car, and they went to see the movie Spider-Man, and they loved it. You're telling me Don't Look Up was better than Spider-Man? It most certainly was not. When did we decide that the best picture has to be serious? As far as I know, that was not the point of feature film when they started making them. Ben-Hur, Chariots and Leprosy, Frankenstein, A Monster Powered by Lightning, Fantasia, Mickey Mouse on an Acid Trip, The Wizard of Oz, Flying Monkeys, and A Witch. These are great Oscar-worthy movies. Speaking of Flying Monkeys and A Witch, former President Donald Trump offered his support to Joe Rogan on Monday night from the Washington Post. Trump said Rogan should stop apologizing for controversies surrounding coronavirus misinformation and his past use of racial slurs. Trump said Joe Rogan is an interesting and popular guy, but he's got to stop apologizing to the fake news and radical left maniacs and lunatics. How many ways can you say you're sorry? Joe, just go about what you do so well and don't let them make you look weak and frightened. That's not you and will never be. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said the mob will come after people, and they're targeting Joe Rogan because he's threatening to upset the apple cart and some of the things they're holding dear. I think a lot of the legacy outlets and I think the left fear the fact that he can reach so many people and they're out to destroy him. But what I say, don't give an inch. Do not apologize. Do not kowtow to the mob. Stand up and tell them to pound sand. Former presidential contender Andrew Yang deleted his tweet. His tweet had said, "I don't think Joe Rogan is a racist. The man interacts with and works with black people literally all the time." Yang is now calling that tweet wrongheaded and said, "It hurt many people, which is never my intent. I'm sorry." Joe Rogan weighed in on the Joe Rogan controversy. He used the Joe Rogan Experience podcast to discuss this. He said that video had always been out there. It's like this is a political hit job. And so they're taking all this stuff I've ever said that's wrong and smushing it all together. In a lot of ways, this is a relief. It's good because it makes me address some stuff that I really wish wasn't out there. You just have to stay offline. Life goes on as normal. His guest, comedian Akash Singh, said, "Real life is people who know you, and you're a great guy. We've all said some wild crap, and you apologize and own that it's wrong. Good for you." Rogan said, "I do think you have to be very careful to not apologize for nonsense." He cited Awkwafina's recent statement addressing critics accusing her of appropriating black culture. Rogan said, "They were saying it was a black sense, which is, come on, man." Over time, people will understand you. They know if you misstep, they know what you're trying to do. You're not a vicious person. You're just trying to be funny. Rogan then took to the stage in Austin, Texas, Tuesday night. The Hollywood Reporter described it as an intimate show before a rapturous crowd of fans at that show. Rogan said, "I used to say it," meaning the N-word, "if I was talking about a Richard Pryor bit or something. I would say it in context. Somebody made a compilation of every time I said that word over 14 years, and they put it on YouTube, and it turned out that was racist as F, even to me. I'm me, and I'm watching it saying, 'Stop saying it!' I put my cursor over the video, and I'm like, 4 more minutes?" Rogan added, "I haven't used that word in years, but it's kind of weird. People will get really mad if you use that word and tweet about it on a phone that's made by slaves." He then segued into a bit about labor conditions at overseas cell phone factories. Later in the show, he mocked the other controversy, the anti-vax information discussed on his podcast. Rogan said, "I talk crap for a living. That's what's so baffling to me. If you're taking vaccine advice from me, is that really my fault? What dumb crap were you about to do when my stupid idea sounded better? You know that dude who made people eat animal penises on TV? How does he feel about medicine? If you want my advice, don't take my advice." An audience member asked Joe Rogan what makes him the most nervous. His answer, "Being a bad person, for real. I try to do my best." Another audience member asked Rogan if he'd be moving to Rumble. That's some sort of social media platform that had done a publicity stunt earlier in the week, offering Rogan a $100 million deal. Rogan said, "No, Spotify's hung in with me, inexplicably. Let's see what happens." Rapper T-Pain caught up with TMZ. He talked about Joe Rogan. He said, "Cancel culture only works if there's action taken. He addressed Spotify and said they need to get their money back. They spent $100 million on that man. Sucks to say, man, but that's just what it is, dude. They don't give an F. He said if Spotify censors Rogan, then they'll need to take action against more material on the platform. He continued saying they just want what's making them uncomfortable now, and accused some musicians of releasing what he called murder albums, saying they got to keep that same energy with everything. Now, I think Trevor Noah nailed it. I shared this with you yesterday. Channeling my inner Trevor Noah, basically, and this is every company, there's like, in the scheme of things, who you are, who said it, how much money can we make, what's the loss, can we keep taking bullets here? Here's an example. Whoopi Goldberg, 2-week suspension. Somebody else on that show without Whoopi Goldberg's stature? Probably fired. It happens. Joe Rogan, number one podcaster? Spotify's going to take some bullets, but if at some point all the advertisers start pulling out, he'll be gone. Bill O'Reilly was on TV for a long time until the advertisers pulled out, so we'll see what happens here. I saw a quick note. A group of protesters, I'm not sure how big a group is, but a group of protesters were outside a Jimmy Carr show in Dunstable Tuesday evening. They called for Jimmy Carr to apologize for his controversial joke about the Holocaust. I did a long segment about that in yesterday's podcast. From the Dayton Daily News, Oberer Homes can move forward with a new development in Yellow Springs, but without an affordable housing component initially promised to the village after the council voted against the village's own plan on Monday night. Johnny Mack, why the real estate segment? Well, multiple Yellow Springs villagers, including Dave Chappelle, got involved against the project. Chappelle even threatened to pull his business interests from the village, which include a plan for a restaurant called Firehouse Eatery and a comedy club called Live from YS. Chappelle repeated his threat again on Monday night, says the Dayton Daily News. Chappelle quoted as saying, "I am not bluffing. I'll take it all off the table." A tweet from @AlexBlagg, a good joke, says a comedian's job is to subtly nag Mark Maron in such a way that he holds onto a growing resentment for upwards of 10 years until he confronts you about it on his podcast, after which the two of you are ultimately good. I think that's a Dane Cook reference there, but I enjoyed that a lot. Hey, you know who else stuck up for Joe Rogan? Prince Harry. Well, that didn't go over so well in the UK. Only 41% of the people polled view the Duke of Sussex positively, compared to 54% who viewed him negatively. If all this gossip about the royal family fascinates you, you should listen to the podcast Palace Intrigue. I'm the writer on that. 5 minutes a day, and an actual 5 minutes, not like this 5-minute show that was 23 minutes yesterday. We keep that one tight. There's always Harry and Meghan stuff, Kate Middleton always being fabulous. The Queen was awesome over the weekend. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts. I was not aware of a huge anniversary yesterday, but I'm glad The Hollywood Reporter caught this. On February 9th, 1997, check your calendars, 25 years ago yesterday, an episode of The Simpsons premiered that would mock industry executives meddling in the creative process. It was the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochy show. Remember that? Probably my favorite episode of The Simpsons ever. If you are ever near me and you say the word lemonade, I immediately go, lemonade, please. And my family hates when I do it, but I do it 100% of the time. Do not say lemonade near me. Lemonade, please. Hi, this is Simulated Voice Johnny Mac. I realized later when editing that the lemonade episode is not the same as the Poochy episode. We now return you to human form Johnny Mac, already in progress. The Itchy and Scratchy and Poochy Show, episode 14 of season 8, would go on to be considered by the Simpsons crew, fans, and media among the best chapters of the Fox cartoon staple. I agree, Hollywood Reporter. I'd have to take some time and make my own list. And like a lot of us, I really am not that familiar with the last gazillion years. I stayed with The Simpsons a lot longer than a lot of people. But when the NFL games at 4:30 on Fox started going longer and longer, my DVR wouldn't actually catch The Simpsons. It would catch like 18 minutes of the postgame show and then 12 minutes of The Simpsons. And I got out of the habit. I understand they're all on Disney Plus. I understand that my YouTube TV DVR has been capturing them all. I could sit home for a year and just watch The Simpsons. Haven't gotten around to it. But The Itchy and Scratchy and Poochy Show, that is great. If you are not familiar with it, The meta episode, writes the Hollywood Reporter, revolves around waning interest in the long-running Itchy and Scratchy show, and a knee-jerk reaction to recover from the ratings dip, Krusty the Clown demands the classic segment be retooled, bumbling studio executives order the addition of an edgy dog to reinvigorate the cat-and-mouse duo, enter Poochie. But like what happens in real life, Poochie is loathed by fans, and then is unceremoniously killed off. If you're of a certain age, this spoke to us. It was things like, remember when they added Cousin Oliver to the Brady Bunch? What are you doing? Don't do that. Or like, ABC would do this with the Saturday morning cartoons. It would start out as Tom and Jerry, then it would be Tom and Jerry Grape Ape, then it was Tom and Jerry Grape Ape Motley. Stop adding things! To drive the point home about nonsensical series alterations and further poke fun at Fox executives, the Simpson family has a hip teenage house guest named Roy drop in for the episode. Josh Weinstein is a former co-showrunner of The Simpsons and said one of the origins was that Fox was not allowed to interfere with the show, but as a courtesy, Bill Oakley and I would meet with them. At one point, someone suggested we add another family member to the show, a teenager. Hank Azaria said, I began working on The Simpsons when I was 23. Is that math right? I guess. How old is Hank Azaria? Typing in Hank Azaria, enter. Hank Azaria is 57. Simpsons been, yeah, that checks out. Wow, I was 23 when I started working on The Simpsons. And by season 8, I had certainly experienced in the industry, you get a character forced on you, a storyline forced on you, or a joke forced or cut. And I found that kind of meddling a drag and annoying. Why are you laughing, Johnny Mac? Oh, I might have worked at a large company that you've heard of that I sometimes mention. I don't want to say which one that had a meddling boss. Kind of found that meddling a drag and annoying. So it was a real catharsis release to do this episode. Amen, Hank Azaria. Lemonade, please. Oh, I forgot to try and sell you a t-shirt. Whew, I am slipping. Hey, did you get a National Donuts chain t-shirt? You know who likes donuts? Homer Simpson. I bet he would rock one of these. It's a great way to support the show. You get a t-shirt with a snazzy donut and the National Donuts logo on it. I get $5. That's how you support the show. Wow, Johnny Mac, what do I have to do? Glad you asked. You go to tinyurl.com/donuts-chain, tinyurl.com/donuts-chain, or there's a link in the show notes. Or, I remembered, there's a link on buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You could go there and buy me a coffee for $5, or, you know, you might want to get a t-shirt. tinyurl.com/donuts-chain. We got to start moving some t-shirts. I got to sell 30 of these things. We're not going to print any of them. And then none of us will have t-shirts. It will be your fault. The Hollywood Reporter saw this new Jenny Slate Charlie Day movie. It's called I Want You Back. And they said the film is aiming to be a heartwarming romantic comedy, the kind best enjoyed on a chilly evening, wrapped in the warmth of blankets and the laughter of friends. Getting ready for the Super Bowl. We'll talk all about the Super Bowl tomorrow. Well, tonight on your television, Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key hosts the NFL Honors. That's on ABC at 9 Eastern, simulcast on ESPN and the NFL Network. So you know it's a big deal. And if you'd like to participate here in this podcast, you can go to podinbox.com/dailycomedynews and leave a voicemail. Lane Spurkus went to podinbox.com/dailycomedynews and left a voicemail. Let's listen.
Hey, Pod Squad, it's Lane Spurkus again. You know, more than once, Johnny Mac has talked about all the interruptions and challenges he faces while he's toiling away recording podcasts in the basement. If it's not his wife doing the laundry, then his dog is urinating on the floor. Frankly, it sounds like a real madhouse over there, but I regard myself as a problem solver. So I was doing some brainstorming over this, just trying to ponder some solutions. And just thinking out loud here, I thought maybe if there were some way to reconfigure the household chore assignments, just somehow switch those up a bit, maybe that could settle things down. I know it sounds kind of radical. Again, I'm just spitballing. We're in blue sky territory here. There's no wrong answers. But maybe if Johnny Mac did more laundry and dog walking, just as an experiment, then Mrs. Mac, she could try her hand at guest hosting. And who knows, maybe the whole thing runs smoother.
Thank you, Lane, for going to podinbox.com/dailycomedynews. Well, as for the laundry, my wife and I agreed it's best if she does it. Apparently, I get blamed for shrinking things and mixing colors and stuff coming out pink, but especially shrinking things. I either get accused of not running the dryer long enough and everything's wet, I don't say anything about my socks being wet half the time. I don't say anything. I just wear other socks. Or I get told I dried things too long and everything has shrunk and that's my fault. So it's just best if I don't do the laundry. The best time to do the laundry, of course, is on Tuesday when someone is recording a podcast in the basement. That's when you should do the laundry. As for the dogs, they're just annoying. They clearly, there's two of them, and they clearly know how to communicate, hey, I'd like to go out. What do? They walk up to you with fast tail and a certain look. We communicate just fine. I know what they want. I go, want to go out? And they start walking to the door. I follow them to the door. I can let them out in the backyard. We can go for walks. But then there are times when they just choose not to do that. And I come downstairs and there's a complete disaster down here. And I just want to record a podcast, especially when no one's doing laundry. So I don't know, Lane. I like your suggestions, but I don't think they're actually going to work. And that's your comedy news for today. He looks at the clock and sees another 20-minute episode. I thought today was going to be a short. Yikes. Hope you're enjoying these. Actually, you are. The numbers are way up on the downloads. Thank you all for listening. You can follow the podcast if you're new on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Good Pods, Pandora, wherever you get your shows. Get yourself a Donuts Chain t-shirt, tinyurl.com/donuts-chain. Leave a message, podinbox.com/dailycomedynews. Don't worry, all this is in the show notes. All the links are right there. Instagram is at Daily Comedy News. Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. The subreddit, Daily Comedy News. And the Twitter, annoyingly, at DCN Pod, because the guy with Daily Comedy News tweeted once, and God help you if you can get somebody from Twitter to respond to you. See you tomorrow.